Next presenter, Dr. Amjad Ahmed. He's a soil scientist and agronomist at University of Hawaii. His research is mainly on the sustainable agriculture and organic agriculture. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for being here. My talk today is going to focus on evaluating potassium release and pattern and mechanism from algae species that we studied in Hawaii. The invasive algae species in Hawaii is a bigger problem, and nitrogen and phosphorus leaching from the forest plus the agricultural land is actually increasing this problem. In addition to, you know, that in Hawaii we have a very small watershed. Like, for example, from the source to the sink would be maybe a few miles. Manoa to Waikiki, I think 3 miles only. So the source to the sink of the pollution, the contamination, is actually very close. That's increasing the hypoxia problem. Also, it's ugly for tourism. In addition to, now turtles start eating these invasive species, and they start developing tumors because of consuming these species. Now, in addition, if you want to go back into the source of these invasive species, some of them came intentionally, like the gratularia came because it's in the Japanese cuisine, kind of they use this seaweed in their food. Some of them unintentionally been brought to the island and they established. They grow very fast comparing with the native algae. They cover the coral reefs very quickly. The Department of Land and Natural Resources has been trying to eradicate these invasive algae and restore the native species. They start, plus some volunteers groups, they start taking out all these invasive species. The DLNR, they have underwater vacuum where they dive in, and they call it super sucker, and they take millions and thousands and millions sometimes of these pounds of these materials, and now where to dispose them. Sorry. If we leave them somewhere outside, they cause hazardous materials. What we did, we tried to help the Department of Natural Resources by developing at the beginning a biosecurity protocol. We tried to help them to find a way to kill these species or at least reduce their viability in order for them to be able to transfer them and also give them to some farmers, especially the growers that they grow taro, for example, or sweet potato, because these crops are in high demand for potassium. The species that we worked on, and they were in huge quantities in Kaneohe area, is the Gracilaria, Capophycus, and the Euchema. There is a mention down that the Gracilaria is a source of agar, and the Capophycus and Euchema both are source of carrageenan. And those compounds that they are well known for media sometimes, and also for food processing, especially as a thickening agents. We took the samples from the DLNR and we analyzed them for nutrient content, and we found a very good amount of potassium that exists in them. It's in general in agriculture, and especially under organic farming, there is a need for organic source of potassium. We tried to use this into our advantages. We put these species, and we also added KCl and KNO3 as a synthetic sources of potassium in addition to these three species in a greenhouse trial. And what we found that there was no significant difference between the source of the potassium, the organic and the synthetic, but there was a significant response into the rate of application. Now, what we tried to do now, we tried to link the potassium release from these species into what's been accumulated in the plant tissue. What we did? We did a lab study for leachate. We used three media. It was molysols, oxysols, and peat, and peat moss. What we applied the five sources of potassium. In addition, under two rates of application, 100 and 300 kg per hectare, or it's almost, because we converted to we multiply by 1.1. We did for each media there was a total of 33 leachate columns. If you look into the results here, you see that the release of K as amount over time, up to 16 weeks, we collected the leachate. You see that the the release of K from the grassy area were the lowest under the two rates of application. Caprophytus and Neuchema were the second, and they were kind of overlapping each other. The amount of K was very close to each other. And the highest were the KCL and KNO3, and they were also kind of overlapping on top of each other. We tried to understand why is this, because in the greenhouse, they didn't show a significant difference. There was some numerical differences, but they didn't reach a significant level. Here showing you also the cumulative. So we did the amount over the 16 weeks, and also that we did as a cumulative. And it's clear that the amount of the total K that released from the grassy area were the lowest. Caprophytus and Neuchema were kind of similar. Actually, yes, exactly similar, no significant difference. And the KCL and KNO3, there was no significant difference between them also at the same time for both application rates. We are working with a faculty in the botany department, and they work a lot on these species. We did a study by removing the portion of the outer layer of these algae species. We found a huge decline in the amount of potassium that comes if you remove that outer layer. And actually, their studies confirmed that most of the potassium that they accumulate, it's mainly in the outer wall. That's where they accumulate the potassium in their tissue. We went deeper. We tried to look to see why the significant difference in the K. What we did, we brought agar and carrageenan. Both are the agar that's produced from the grassy area, and the carrageenan that they were produced from the Neuchema and Caprophytus. And we compared them. We applied them also as we mix them with potassium, and we apply them into the media, and we run it for only 6 weeks just to see the effect on it. We produce the agar and carrageenan, both the and then we dry them, crush them, and then mix them into the media. You see the results here. It was very clear that the release pattern from the algae was very similar into what came out from the agar and carrageenan plus potassium. Very similar. In conclusion, that the results of this study suggested that the cell wall structure of the individual species contributes significantly into the K release. In addition to, we are working on securing more funds to look into deeper knowledge on the individual species, cell wall and structure and composition, to see if there is another reason for these differences in the K release. Also to investigate the functional properties of these agar and carrageenan groups from different species and locations within the state. With that, I would like to acknowledge our funding sources and the people helping us to conduct this work, and thank you for listening. Of course. The question is, when you take these algae from the ocean, what are you going to bring with it that maybe harm the plants? Now, if you look into the sources that we went to, that's why we use two synthetic sources of the K, KNO3 and KCL, because we wanted to see if the salt causing some problems, because we saw at high application rate in the greenhouse that there was some decline. But some suggested that the decline actually related to some growth prohibitors in these species. To relate to one of the mechanisms that's been thought that it's why those species were able to establish in the coral reefs in Hawaii and actually take over the native, it's those prohibiting factors that they have in them. At the same time, I did before actually at the beginning when I worked on these materials, we did washing and unwashing to see the effect on the salt and other nutrients as well. So we added the KCL just to see if the salt is contributing into it, and actually it didn't affect it. Yeah. Only at very high application rates. Otherwise, it didn't reduce the plant growth. That's, we, and also the, Pak choy is one of the crops that require that needs high potassium in the growth. So that's what we did with it. That's why we use the crop.
Any other questions? I have another question.
Please. Of course.
How you can distinguish between the effect that is related to the potassium and the effect of other nutrients or
of
other,
course.
Other factors?
When we applied it into the plants, we quantify how much nitrogen, how much potassium, and how much other nutrients were there, and we applied. So, for example, if I'm adding 50 pounds of nitrogen, and in the tissue from my application, let's say, for example, 5 pounds of that, I added only 45. Or what's equal to. So we quantify for what's in the tissue in those invasive algae as an application of those nutrients. Yeah.
But not all of that is necessarily available. So if you have some nitrogen in the algae,
yeah.
you don't know if 100% of that is going to be released or 50%.
It was actually based on the chemical analysis. So technically, what? Yeah. Yeah.
Any other questions? Great. Thank you.
Thank you.